Well, Doc, I'd have to say that I have not grown tired of what we are doing here.
Me either, man. I mean, we're right in the middle of the Book of Judges here now. I mean, how exciting is that?
Oh, and
I mean, people killing each other.
Oh, my word.
And the judgment of God coming, and then yet people repenting and coming back to God. That's what revival is all about.
The cycle.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
right. It just keeps going. I mean, we're talking this. What I love about the Book of Judges is this isn't just one generation or two. This
right.
is generation after generation after generation. And it's profound. I mean, yeah.
So we are episode 18 today.
Wow.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And we've come out of the story. We're not even out of Jephthah's story
we're
yet.
We're in the middle of Jephthah here.
Dude, this guy had to offer his own daughter as a sacrifice. I still can't get my head around it.
I know.
And then he's still, and now when we go into 12, this guy's functioning as a leader and coming up against
a judge. He's a judge.
Yeah. But it's just crazy to me.
Well, you got to do what you say.
You got to do what you say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, Doc.
There you go.
Those are good words. I remember when I took that on.
Contemplate carefully what you let come out of your mouth.
Man alive.
Yeah.
Holy cats.
So, verse 1 in chapter 12 says, the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire.
They made it a point to go over there and pick a fight.
Now, these guys are brothers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
They're fellow Israelites, but they're different tribes. And this is the same thing the Ephraimites did with Gideon back a few chapters earlier.
They did. Picking a fight.
Right. I mean, they're hotheads.
My. Jealousy kind of comes onto the scene.
You wonder about that.
How come you're not letting me? How come you're not letting us come in and get in on the glory of these?
Ooh, that's a good word. The anointing. You see, the anointing was on Jephthah.
Yeah.
The anointing was on Gideon.
Boy, we don't like that, do we?
Yeah, when God uses somebody else.
Yeah, and you
ooh.
Think you're the worthy
ooh,
vessel.
Ooh, I the man, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Man.
No, seriously, that's
yeah.
a big deal. So Jephthah said to them, my people and I were in a great struggle with the people of Ammon, and when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Why have you come up to me this day to fight against me?
Hmm. Kind of a different approach than what Gideon had when he kind of humbled him, right? Remember when he got
right.
called out?
Right.
This is a little bit of a different matter.
He gives an answer. I mean, this is a reasonable answer.
Did you guys forget that I asked you for help?
Yeah, right.
Is there a mix-up in the communication of leadership? They didn't tell you that I came over?
Right.
Man, revenge, jealousy,
yeah,
and then revenge.
Within the house of God.
Right.
This isn't the Edomites or the Hittites.
Right.
This is the Ephraimites and Jephthah. So Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim, and the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are refugees, are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites.
Now,
wow.
Yeah. But we were kind of looking at a map there, and Gilead is a region.
Right.
It's not a city. And so you might come into this reading like it's this one town of these guys. But
no,
it's
a bunch of
it's
towns.
It's a region of men that have come alongside Jephthah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The truth we can take away from this, too, I think, is tying back to what we said before, when God chooses a man and anoints him and jealousies come in, there's going to be rancor, there's going to be this has happened in revivals over and over and over again. In the Azusa Street revival, it happened.
How so?
They compiled, one of the ways that revival was so effective is they had a newsletter mailing list.
That's right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And they sent it out all over America. And the revival started in 1906. In 1908, it was a little bit different origin of the dispute because this lady fell in love with William Seymour. And he did not want to marry her. And so it was, you know, that spurning and all that. And that all led to two groups functioning, and the smaller group with the lady taking the newsletter list and taking off.
Man alive.
I know, even in that.
No hard drives.
No.
Huh? No constant contact.
Paperless.
Nothing in the cloud.
Written with a pen. No, not then, man. The only clouds they had were given rain. All right, so that's the thing. Beware of that when you move into revival. Don't let your heart be drawn away into jealous bickerings and disagreements. When God clearly has chosen a person to lead, get in there and follow him, and as far as he's following God,
right?
Get with the program.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So then we come to verse 5. The Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And you can tell from this and the last few chapters we've studied, that's a key area, the fords of the Jordan. That's where you cross the Jordan River, because otherwise apparently it was too deep.
Mm.
But if you control those areas, then you could control moving into the other territory.
Right.
And then when any Ephraimite who escaped said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" And if he said no, remember now, they've defeated him. And if he said no, then they would say to him, "Say Shibboleth." And he would say Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. Then they would take him and kill him at the fords of the Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites. Now, Pete, you've got something on this that's deep. So go for it.
Well, I was just thinking about if you could imagine going up against the people up in like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right?
Because they talk different.
They talk differently than us, and they would. If you were to say, say you guys, these guys in the Upper
Use guys,
they'd say use guys,
right?
And you would say you guys, and they. He'd kill you. Oh, it's yous guys.
Oh, they're from that Minnesota region down there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, see, there it is again. It's not yes, it's yeah. And what about boat?
Boat.
What is a boat?
Boat.
A boat. You know, you put it out there on the water.
Oh,
the boat.
One of those.
The boat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So here he is and Jephthah really has not been a part of this other region, right? I mean, he grows up in basically a different dialect.
Right.
I mean, there are people over in the UK, they can tell what neighborhood you grew up in based on the way that you spoke. I mean, we have a little bit of that. You can tell if someone's from down south.
Right.
Or people can tell that we're from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think we take a little jest in that, but holy man.
42,000 dudes die because they can't say the word right, and that identifies them as Ephraimites.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, serious stuff. So then it says Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried among the cities of Gilead.
Mm.
After him... Now, I am fascinated by this guy, Pete, I have to say, this Ibzan.
Yeah.
After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. All right, so he's raised up by God. He's a deliverer. He's a guy that leads the people to victory and gets them to serve the Lord, but the dude has 30 sons.
Yes.
And he gives away 30 daughters in marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, how many wives did this guy have? I mean,
he gave away $30.
$30 in marriage.
30 daughters in marriage.
And then he brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons, because they all needed to get married. And he judged Israel 7 years.
What is it about that? About going out and bringing in people?
Well, whatever you want to say about Ibzan, and that's all we know about him, at least at least he held the line against Ashtaroth and Asherah in his practical life.
What's not said here.
That's right, because what was Asherah all about? That was all about women being men and men being women and all that weird cult prostitution stuff.
Right.
And I really think that's a point here. And Ibzan says, look, I got these sons and I got these daughters, which give the daughters out to dudes to get married and have children, and the sons we bring in, daughter, we import them to bring them in. So, you know, I mean, guy probably wanted grandkids too, you know. Well,
men want that.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy mine.
I'm enjoying my 20. I have 20 of them. And it's awesome.
You're so far ahead of me, Doc.
So, Ibzan died and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, there was Elon the Zebulunite. He judged Israel 10 years. He died and was buried at Ajalon. After him, Abdon, the son of Hillel the Parathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. And he judged Israel 8 years. Then, you know, it's kind of strange, isn't it? It'd be like, there was Pete Cooper, and he drove his Dodge Dakota around. And he was a man of God, you know.
He judged Pine City 20, yeah, for 3 years.
Baroon.
Baroon.
He judged Baroon.
For man. 8 years, and then he moved.
Right, then he moved over east. Wow. But what's interesting is these guys, we only get one verse or two verses about them, but they're still in the lineup of judges.
Right. Right.
And what we have to remember is God, in his faithfulness, just keeps sending people to call his sons and his daughters back to him when they backslide and when they go away.
Right. Maybe
he's
you're
faithful to that.
Maybe you're that to your family.
Ooh.
Maybe you're that to not only to your immediate family, but what about your existing family?
Right.
When you guys come together for Thanksgiving, who gets the passage to pray over the meal?
Mm.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, it is.
In
Christmas time, who reads the Christmas story?
Oh.
We usually choose one of the children, one of the older children at ours, and it's really cool.
Wow. Or at birthday parties and birthday prayers. We did that for a while, and then we kind of slipped away from it. But
and like, another thing from these guys is handing the good things of God on to the younger generations. Mm-hmm. Here you got a guy with sons and grandsons. I mean, we don't have a lot of detail about it, but they must be mentioned there for a reason. They're following their grandpa,
right,
who's a judge of Israel.
Right.
Right. So, anyway, we can begin here on chapter 13. And, Pete, I am pumped about chapter 13.
I
have to tell you. This chapter has stuff in it that goes backwards into the previous history of Israel and forward into a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
About Jesus.
Exactly.
Which is amazing.
That was my thought as well.
Right. So verse 1, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Oh.
You can't get away from the cycle.
Right.
Isn't that strange?
I think it is.
I mean, you would think at some point a generation of people would say, look, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Let's serve the Lord. And let's let the pagans serve the idols. But no.
No.
They don't.
No. They bring the pagan idols into the
shop. Right. I know. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. Now you got a whole new bunch of people to oppress them, the Philistines. If you thought it was fun under the Ammonites and the Moabites, wait till you have the Philistines.
Well, you brought their idols in back in the days of Jephthah.
Right. Now there arose a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children.
Mm.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." All right, now here's the angel of the Lord again. Remember, this is the same being that appears to Gideon back and starts that whole thing.
Right.
So you think of the power of that. I mean, that sets off a whole reality of deliverance and good things. It goes for several generations.
It does, and I think the other thing about this, because at home I you have different texts. I read out of different Bibles,
mm-hmm.
and what I really like about the New King James is that when pronouns, or when we're talking about things of the Lord or the personage of the Lord, they're capitalized.
Mm.
And you don't see that in an NIV, and you don't see that in an ESV, but you do see it in Amplified, and you do see it in the New King James. And I think it's really, I mean, it calls something out to you when you read that. Angel of the Lord, all lowercase, makes you think that it's an angel that came from the Lord.
But
when it's capitalized
here,
like
it's
this.
Capitalized, right.
So explain that a little bit.
Well, it's a decision by the translators. You know, they have to decide, because in the original text here, none of this was, it was all called uncial. It wasn't upper or lowercase. It was kind of a hybrid in between.
With no punctuation.
Right. So they kind of have to decide, but I agree. I mean, I think the New King James guys really did a good job with this.
Right.
One thing I do, you mentioned the versions. Lately, I've been reading the Septuagint to get ready for this.
And what kind of skills do you have to read that?
Well, you kind of need to know Greek.
Oh.
It's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And it's kind of cool, because you're reading what the earliest Christians, that was their Bible, the Christians,
yeah.
that's the Bible they had.
It's so interesting.
Right.
Like, what favor the Lord had upon you to train you up in such a way. Amen?
It was the favor of the Lord. I don't know how else to explain it. All right, so she's got the angel of the Lord here. He tells her she's going to conceive and bear a son. But a very special instruction with this. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or any similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, this is really interesting about this. Of course, is Samson is going to be this child. But in this case, we have enough chapters and verses of this story to see a real development of a deliverance. And we had that a little bit with Gideon, but a lot of these other guys, it was just, well, he went to battle and, you know, and defeated the enemy troops, and boom, it was over.
Yeah,
with Samson, you get episodes, you get parts out of his life, and you get some real lessons. So stay with us, listeners, because this is going to get really good in these next few podcasts.
Yeah, this is like a seed getting planted.
Right.
Because she has to raise this child in accordance. She
right.
has to do her small part here.
She does.
And it sounds like that's a big part, really. When you think about all, don't do this, and you can't do that, and don't be around this. The watchful eye of a mother to raise up her son to become a deliverer
right.
to Israel is, we're talking about 20 years here probably, right?
Yeah.
Like he's going to be raised up.
Right.
All right.
Exactly. So the woman, verse 6, the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God." Mm-hmm. So first he's called the angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now he's called a man of God. And his countenance came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name.
That's and the so, awesome part. Like, I'm just not going to ask.
So who is this one? That's the most important question for this chapter, of course. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Hmm. That's important, too, right to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed, yeah, because in his death, yeah. Samson took down more Philistines than all through his whole life. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Mm. Notice the husband doesn't get all, you know, whoa, who's this guy talking to my wife, telling her she's going to be pregnant? I mean, you could see husbands kind of getting a little ranked up about that, but he doesn't, right? He's a godly man, this Manoah.
Prayerfulness, yeah.
Right. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?
Wow.
So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Now, I almost hesitate to point this out, but here's a big difference between the stories like we have here in the book, like this one that we have in the book of Judges and other stories in the Bible in Greek mythology.
Oh.
Because, here's why. Because in Greek mythology, what would happen is this guy would turn out to be Zeus, and he'd have sex with this woman, and she'd have a child, and he would be Achilles, or he would be Hercules, or you know, all these guys. Very big, strong difference between the pagan worldview and the view of gods and goddesses and what they did from the God of Scripture.
Right.
Very, very different. Okay? All right. So this being is called several different things in this chapter. This is what really fascinates me about this. I suppose it does because I'm also writing a book on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, but this chapter is huge. So first this guy is called the angel of the Lord in verse 3. Then he's called a man of God in verse 6. Then he's called the angel of God. It's another term in verse 9. Then in verse 10 he's just called the man three times by Manoah's wife. And then again the angel of the Lord in verse 13. So he says to him, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, let us detain you, for we will prepare a young goat for you. They realize they're in the presence of the Lord God, and they need to sacrifice. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you bring a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. So here again, you have, this is the angel of the Lord. And he's saying, if you're going to offer this sacrifice, offer it to Yahweh or the Lord or Jehovah.
Right.
For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. So there are angels, which are awesome and wonderful to see them, but then there's the angel of the Lord,
right,
which is in a whole different class by himself.
And Manoah didn't know that he was the angel of the Lord. So what,
right,
but what one man will see, or what in particular what Manoah's wife saw,
right,
she saw the majesty in knowing that it was that capital angel of the Lord.
Right.
He sees him just as a man.
And doesn't know.
But they recognize the presence. I think that's kind of the other side. Right.
Right. But then here's where it gets really interesting in verse 17. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" Mm. This man, I love this guy, Manoah. I mean, he's a man of honor.
Teachable.
He's like, this isn't, hey, you know, so we can impress our neighbors with, you know, hey, we had God in our backyard, you know.
No, he came over for the barbecue.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's not what he's about. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" Oh, my word.
Right.
This, who is
what
this?
What angel would say that?
I know.
Right? That's where it really comes, like you're saying, this is where it really comes.
Seeing that it is wonderful.
Yeah, it breaks open right there.
So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar. Mm. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar.
Exclamation point.
Right. Yeah, right. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground.
Mm. Posture.
When they saw that, it's not a human being, that's for sure.
And they both fell to the ground.
This is more than an ordinary angel.
Right.
When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord.
Mm.
And that means what we read in verse 22. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Now, why does he say that, Pete?
Because no man can see the face of God.
We gotta live. We gotta go back to
Exodus
33:20.
All right.
We have just for a moment here. We gotta go back there. A Moses' encounter with God. Okay, now this is centuries before where we're at here in Judges. But this is Moses' famous encounter with God, where he says to God, "Show me your glory." And God says to him, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to you, whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live."
And that was, what's the reference on that?
Exodus 33:20.
And
so, you know the story. So he places Moses in a place in the rock where he's protected, and he passes by.
Right.
But he doesn't see his face.
Sees his backside.
Right.
Yeah.
But these people see the face of this being. And they know about Exodus 33:20, and they say, "We're going to die."
Right.
Why is that? And what does it mean, except that there are... There can't be two Yahwehs, because Yahweh, the Lord our God, is one, and yet there are two beings or two personages.
Mm-hmm.
One, you can see his face and live. The other one, if you see his face, you're toast.
And we get to see this in a hindsight.
Right.
Really.
So this has to be, looking at it backwards now through the New Testament, this has to be the Father and the Son.
Right.
There's no other explanation for it.
Right.
So everything this angel of God does, this man of God, this angel of the Lord, this is all Jesus, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus.
Hmm.
And this is what he does. I mean, he is divine. He everything that happens here is the nature of his character.
But this is, you know, kind of on the other side of all this, is that they know what to do. Gideon knew what to do, to offer up a sacrifice. These guys
do the same thing.
They do the same thing. And so right. being raised up and trained up, even though the world around you can be in chaos, you can still do what's right. And the other interesting thing. Yeah, the other thing is it's Manoah and his wife. She has been given certain insight to things. He's given insight to things. They come together. And we can see a full picture of what's happening. So
that's good.
You know, listener, if you're married, start to seek the Lord together. Start doing things together.
Yes.
Because this is going to put a little wood in your stove.
Yeah, fire on the wood.
Amen.
Okay, so his wife says in verse 23, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. And of course, she was right. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So there you go. Wow. Now, in this story of Samson, we get quite a bit of detail of the build-up to revival.
Oh.
And I would wonder, listener, just think about your own life. I mean, you had a father and you had a mother, and there were certain things that happened, and you came along, and you've had your growing up years, and you're going to see a little bit of that with Samson, but especially when he moves into getting a wife, it's going to get real interesting.
Right.
But God has his hand on those things all the way along, and just as he prepared Samson, just even his parents in this whole story we just read, there are some of you that God's going to make known to you. Those things happened with you too.
Right.
And there's a timing and there's a place for you to step into an anointing and into the power of God, the love of God, and lead people in revival.
Yeah.
I really believe it.
Amen. Prophetic word does the same thing. It can be seeded into a ground years before it ever comes to pass.
That's right.
Or days, months, you experience that with your sons.
Right.
I experienced that in the naming of my son. That was a seed that gets planted that takes years.
Whoa.
Years.
Ben-Hamin. Son of the right hand.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a name.
And Boaz.
Whoa.
Right? The deliverer.
Wow.
What? I know. I call my son. He's a mighty, mighty man of God.
Amen.
He's just, the seed's growing.
Amen.
Oh, I can't wait to see it, Doc.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's pray on that as we wrap up here today,
yes,
Pete.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Father, we just thank you for the listener that's hearing this today. Yeah. I just lift them up, men and women, Lord, that are interested in seeing your kingdom come and your will be done. Right here on the earth, in the area of revival and awakening. And Lord, I thank you that there are talents and abilities, there are life experiences that they've had that are going to join together in a tapestry of a story that is going to be glorious in its own way for each of these. I loose it upon them now today. And I thank you, Father, for each of these persons. Even as some of them are just going to be have their name mentioned, and some of them are going to have their whole story told. There's a place for everybody in this. We just thank you for that. We receive it from you, Lord, as your good gift. In Jesus' name, amen.